when you go all in on your passion, your dream, one of the biggest things I realize is like the long nights, the hard work, and even the failures, they always feel better than it did when those things happened, and they will happen in a regular career. So when it happens and it's somebody else's business or somebody else's thing that you're working on, but compared to like when that happens for yourself, it's this way, it's a totally different feeling. And it's something that actually keeps energizing you, because you don't feel like, you feel like you want to get up, brush the dirt off your shoulders and keep it going. And I think the reason is because when you truly love what you're doing, it kind of gives you that extra boost of energy that you might not have had doing that job that you hated.
Hey, what's up? This is Gabe from Legion Beats and MIDI Money, which is where we help music producers start, grow, and scale their music production businesses. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how I was able to turn Legion Beats into a profitable business and how you can join our community of hundreds of producers all working towards that same goal, head over to midimoney.com/go. All right, so today we got my best friend, Jacob, on the MIDI Money podcast. Jacob, what's up, bro?
Man, we've been best friends for just so long. It's just so great to have your friend involved in this show now.
Bro, you're best friend with every, you're everybody's best friend.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, you have to be in this funnel world. Nah, just joking.
Yeah, man. No, I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's busy week. You had a launch. I'm sure we'll get into some of the details, but congrats on the launch.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. God, where do we start? Maybe we could do just like, if you don't mind doing like a quick background as far as, you know, just the quick story of kind of how you got into producing, you know, how you got to where you are today, yeah. And then we can fill in the details.
For sure. So as far as producing goes, you know, I fell in love with production when I was around 14 or 15, kind of like most individuals had the cracked version of FL Studio. And, you know, from there, just kind of fell in love with it. I went to school for like audio recording and engineering and stuff. And for years, just tried to make a living and stuff off of that, which was quite difficult to do at times. I took many trips to LA and quit my job over and over again. And so part of that process, you know, thankfully, I was able to make a lot of great connections and stuff. And in around 2018, so, you know, almost like 10 years into producing, I finally had built up enough contacts and stuff to really say, hey, I'm going to be able to go all in on this. And that's actually where me and you first met, because you kind of introduced me to the funnels and being able to sell my music online. I was having some success with the production outside, but I knew kind of building my own brand and having something that I can not only really own, but something I can depend on was really important to me. And that's kind of where you came in and funnels and marketing and all that stuff. But as far as production, you know, when I made that switch in 2018, I had one of the best opportunities, which is a really strange one, but to do the music for Kylie Jenner's birth video. And so that kind of kicked off this wave of kind of like sync and a bunch of placements and different opportunities.
How many views or streams did that get?
It was the most viral video of that year. I don't even know where we're at. Billions.
Yeah, hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I think it passed like a billion within the first little bit. So yeah, and that really introduced me to like film and stuff. I had a chance to score Look My Mike and Fly, but the Travis Scott documentary, which at the time that we're recording this right now, we're like a couple of days away from the 1 year anniversary. So I'm really happy about that. And because of those things, I was able to kind of show people what I was able to do in the film and been able to kind of apply that to my samples, my production, got a couple of placements this year. Finally was able, a lifelong dream, end up on the Billboard charts with Illmind and Russ. I was able to finally accomplish that this year. So yeah, that's kind of the shortest version of my story of how I kind of been able to maneuver and stuff.
That's awesome, man. No, it's been cool to watch. Like we connected, you know, in my very, very early stages of like starting this whole MIDI Money thing and just starting to work with producers. In fact, I think we started working before we even officially launched. Like,
There was no name, anything like that. It was just, I think, you were still trying to figure things out. I was still trying to figure things out. So, I mean, on the reciprocal of that, it's been really awesome to see what you guys have been able to do because, it's been great to watch your journey too as well.
Yeah, man. No, it's been fun. And, you know, it was cool that, you know, I got to do Producer Grind, which was awesome for me. And then you were on there too. I saw you were on, I think you might've been on Blab Chat before I was. It's just been cool to see the progression and everything. And, man, so yeah, maybe we can get into some of the specifics as far as like what was something that started to really click for you as far as making money, you know, from your music? Or like, what is something that, like, what was the first thing that really did that?
To be honest with you, the first thing that I feel like I really truly was able to kind of capitalize on was the Kylie Jenner video. And I saw this go back to 2018. I had just left, you know, I was producing a national radio show here in Toronto, Canada, where I'm located. So I'd kind of rose through the ranks when it comes to radio and stuff. And I left this really kind of cushy, nice job. And here I am trying to make the first couple months work. And luckily for me, this Kylie Jenner birth video comes along. I'm able to do the music. I'm able to retain my ownership and stuff. And that was my first time owning something and really owning something and seeing how widespread, like, it, you know, like this viral moment. People are literally getting married to this music. They're playing it. And now I'm starting to see checks show up in the mail from like all this sync. It got placed in a couple TV shows and stuff like that. And so that was kind of like my first real taste of like, hey, you know, if you own a piece of your art and you're creative and stuff like that, you can use that. And even a weird one like that, like, you know, I didn't think I'd be able to kick open all these doors by saying, hey, I did the music for Kylie's birth video, you know, but sometimes you got to take, or you definitely have to take those opportunities and turn them into something. And that's like a big thing I've learned through this entire whole process, even with the funnels and stuff. It's like, you know, how can you take some of these moments, these opportunities and capitalize on them from a brand standpoint, marketing and stuff like that, and really work them into your world. So that was definitely one of the first opportunities. And then for me, when it comes to kind of entrepreneurship and realizing like, hey, I can sell beats and stuff online, that was obviously BeatStars. I had in 2018 as well, too, one of the top, me and my homie Accent, one of the top Drake type beats for the year. And so that was able to see like some change and stuff come in. And all those things were kind of like the catalyst to be like, hey, if I really like just focus on this, I can do this. I can pay my bills and stuff like that. And just kind of been working on it since then.
That's awesome. How long has it been since you left that job and you've been full time on the music stuff?
Since I left. Yeah. So I had saved up a little bit of money. So that was January of 2018. I left right at that kind of Christmas January break. And then the first, like I said, the first 3 months, cause I think Kylie had the Stormy in February, I think somewhere along, like maybe a month or two after I'd left the job. And so, yeah, for me, it was kind of the first 2 months or so. I was like, oh, God, am I going to be able to do this? And then slowly things start coming in and I started reaching out to those old connects and letting them know what I was doing. And the dots and everything sort of kind of clicked. But it's funny. It's one of those things, and I'm sure you felt the same way. When you go all in on your passion, your dream, one of the biggest things I realize is like the long nights, the hard work, and even the failures, they always feel better than it did when those things happened, and they will happen in a regular career. So when it happens and it's somebody else's business or somebody else's thing that you're working on, but compared to like when that happens for yourself, it's a totally different feeling. And it's something that actually keeps energizing you because you don't feel like, you feel like you want to get up, brush the dirt off your shoulders and keep it going. And I think the reason is because when you truly love what you're doing, it kind of gives you that extra boost of energy that you might not have had doing that job that you hated or that thing over there. So that's been one of the biggest things too. And I realized in kind of making all that stuff work, the reason I probably kept going and finding new gigs and little things and niche things over here was probably because, hey, I was so passionate about it. I wasn't able to take no for an answer. I kind of kept swinging, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think the stakes are so much higher. Like, even if you don't hate your job, if you're, you know, it's different when you're working for somebody else, I think, compared to when you're building your own thing, then it's like the highs are higher. And honestly, the lows are lower too, because when things are stressful, or it's not like, it's on you, it's on your shoulders. There's not like, well, whatever, at least I'll get my paycheck no matter what. And I can, you know, coast through these tasks. It's like, no, like there's no shortcuts. There's no cheating anymore. Cause like, what are you going to clock in time and trick yourself? So I feel like it just becomes, everything's amplified, but I definitely, you know, I wouldn't trade it. That's for sure. Just being able to have that ownership, you know, and just feel like, man, like I can't, like the good part is I can't blame anybody else. And the bad part is I can't blame anybody else. You know, if it's not going well, or, you know, something isn't turning out the way I want it to, then it's like, well, now it's on me. Now it's my responsibility. Like, now I got to figure out how to fix that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's been fun to watch, you know, your progression with that too, of like, you know, the different levels of problems that you have too, like when you're in the earlier stages and now, you know, getting into building your team and that kind of stuff, which I know last time, you know, we had a check-in, that was a big topic. So I'm kind of wondering how's the team thing going for you as far as hiring, delegating, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's exciting to talk about because it's going good. Nice. So thank you for your help. And what Gabe is also kind of referring to is, and when he's talking about kind of the lows are the lows, is that, you know, I was feeling a lot of that pressure. When things were going wrong, I really felt like I didn't have any support. And I think that's for most people starting out with marketing and everything. You're the guru in all those sectors, and you're doing it all. And I think one of the hardest things I had to learn is A, admitting that I need the support, and then B, actually receiving the support and the help, because I know sometimes it is, sometimes it's hard when it comes to delegation and stuff like that, because we're so used to like, I'll do the uploading, I do it this way. Sometimes it's hard to let go of those things. And that was definitely a process. So yeah, you know, when I decided, hey, I just cannot keep up with the support tickets and the ads and all that type of stuff, I had he's the first hire. His name's Grant, a great friend that I always believed could do some great stuff within marketing and stuff. And I brought him on. And again, when this comes to this whole learning experience, I kind of thought, hey, he's going to jump in and just be the next Jacob. And I realized within the first couple of days, I'm like, okay, now I got a lot to like show him and teach him. And luckily for me with the pandemic and everything, we were in the same vicinity. We were able to work a lot of the time face to face. Whereas like, if this, you know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because if that didn't happen, I probably would have been traveling the world and we would have to do a lot of Zoom back and forth. And I don't know if it would have went as good as it's gone so far. But yeah, within a couple of weeks, he was kind of able to pick up, you know, the cadence, and he read, I got him all the traffic secret books and all that type of stuff. And so, yeah, there's still hiccups and bumps, and that's a learning process for us both, because I realized another thing too, within leadership is like, you not only do you have to lead, but you got to take ownership of those choices that you make when it comes to leading. And so, you know, if somebody in the company doesn't do exactly what I'm kind of looking for, that's not just because, A, they just didn't want to do it or whatever. A good chance, a good part of that is maybe I didn't explain it right. Like maybe my communication, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of things like that too. Like we did personality tests and stuff like that, which has been really great in growing, because, you know, now we're at three individuals in total, plus myself. So four of us kind of working day to day on the business. And it's a lot. Yeah, I'm really happy with the progress. And there is now essentially kind of four Jacobs, you know, including myself, and which is a beautiful thing too, because there's a lot of great ideas that I guess I didn't realize at the time that I wasn't able to actually execute on. And now I'm like, oh, you can do that. I'll do this over here. And he does that over there. And she's doing this. And yeah, it's great.
Dude, that's one of the best feelings. Like, yeah, I'm thinking back too, for especially when I first started growing the team, of like, yeah, I think as producers, maybe anybody who's starting a business or whatever, like we do so much, we do everything. And I think a lot of times there's a certain pride in that, like, oh yeah, I do everything. I answer every email, I post every beat, I reply to every comment. It's like, yeah, that's cool, but like that's only gonna take you so far. Like,
I know.
Once you hit and you were bumping up against that, like you literally would not be able to accomplish the things, right? I'm assuming that you're accomplishing right now if you didn't have those, you know, that help. And the other part that I think makes it so hard for people in general to bring those people on, well, two points that you made. One is like the thing of being able to let go of control. That was a huge one for me, of, you know, having this belief in my mind, only I can answer the emails because only I understand all the nuances of everything they're going to ask, or only I can export the beats because it's got to be this very specific format and naming convention, or, you know, whatever it is, being able to let go of that control and knowing that when you are investing in a team member, when you're hiring somebody, there's so much investment that goes up front as far as your time, where yes, like this task would, maybe it takes you 10 minutes to do, and it's going to take you 2 hours to show somebody, and then they're going to do it wrong, and you're going to have to show them, you know, again, how to do it and why, and, you know, create that process so that they know how to do it step by step, and then update that process. And there's all this upfront energy and time where a lot of times people get frustrated and they're like, well, you know, whatever, fuck this. I'll just do it myself. I can do it faster. But when you put that time in upfront and you have them educate themselves, you know, like you said, give them books to read, you know, outline those processes, take the time to show them not just how to do the thing, but you're thinking behind why that happens. Then now after that initial period, now all of a sudden they're so focused on those specific tasks, eventually they're going to be better at those things than you ever were, because you were trying to do 100 things at once. They're doing, you know, maybe 5 or whatever, so they can actually devote all of their time and their mind space to that thing, because man, there's only so much we can think about, focus on, you know, at one time. And when you've got a million things going on, you don't really get to go deep into any particular thing, because you're thinking about 10 different things at once. So
yeah.
I know that was a huge benefit for me. I don't know, how's that evolution going for you as far as putting that up for a time? And
it's definitely a lot of work up front, and that itself, you know, because it felt like in the beginning, like, not only am I doing, like, I'm doing the 8-hour shift with this new individual, but then as soon as they leave at 5, I got still my 8-hour shift to do all my work today. And that's how it felt for, like, the first month. But in doing all that, now I'm at this place where I feel like if I got sick tomorrow and I was like, yeah, I can't do anything, that individual will be able to pick up all of those bits and pieces. And that sort of having that support and stuff is like, that's what you need to continue to grow. Another way I can even think about it too, that just kind of connecting to musicians and producers, is like, it's when you're in production and you realize that collaboration can get you farther too. Because like a great example is even my own example. The first big placement I ever got was through collaborating. You know, I made a piece of music, I made a sample, I sent it along, Illmind flipped it, other people got involved, and we were able to create this song that's getting played on Jimmy Kimmel and all these things that I wouldn't have been able to do myself, because there's certain elements within production that I think I'm really good at. But I don't know music theory. I'm not the craziest pianist. So I really learned from a lot of producers too, like, if you want to grow your music career as well too, collaboration is also key. Because when you really become a real producer, you become Dr. Dre status, that's when you're like, okay, I have the best engineer, I know the best keyboard player, the Scott Storch, I know the best drum player over here. And you bring all those ingredients together and you create the best track, and people say, oh, I can't believe you made that. And you're like, well, really, it takes a team. And I've been in many studio sessions where I've seen that team effort, and I know to create these hit records takes that as well too. And so both work.
No, for sure. It is funny, like, it comes up over and over, but like, the similarities between sort of the entrepreneurship world and the music world, there's so many, you know, as far as the one that you just brought up there, of this concept of, you know, having a whole team of people come together to create the final product, you know, same thing on the business side, right? You know, being creative and thinking about how you want to map things out, sticking with things, you know, sticking with it, even when you get frustrated, but keep, you know, continuing to learn and evolve, you know, all that stuff, I feel like applies the skills that we've been honing as producers for all this time. If you have the right mindset and you think about it that way, you can apply it right to your business and your marketing. I just feel like I see a lot of producers, which is how I used to think too, you know, thinking like, you know, I hate doing that side of things. I don't want to focus on the business. I hate all that stuff. Like, why would I want to do that? I just want to make music. But once you start doing, you know, jumping into that world and doing it, then it actually becomes fun too. And it becomes, at least for me, I can say, like, I enjoy that process too. And I can be creative and I can work with the team and all, you know, all the things that I liked about music, a lot of times I can apply to the business world as well.
Yeah. And it's a great connection too, because I think we also don't realize as musicians, as producers, that we're also entrepreneurs. And so secretly, like you said, we've been honing these skills and stuff like that. And so once you actually make the mindset shift, like, hey, I'm an entrepreneur, everything just connects. It's always been there. It's just like, you literally just have to see it a little bit different. So I totally agree with that point.
Cool. So I know, like, when we were first starting to work, a lot of the focus was on an audience of rappers and singers, right? We were working on selling beats.
Right.
And now it seems like, I don't know if it's 100%, but at least a lot of the focus seems to be more on an audience of producers. Yep. So I'm curious about how that transition happened and what do you see as the difference between those two?
Yeah. So, that happened because, I mean, part of it, I think, really happened is, and it's something that I deal with and have dealt with my entire life, is that I just love production so much. But I always tend to do things that are sort of related, but not 100% there. And I think, even thinking of, like, you know, scoring the Travis film, it's like, great, I scored the Travis film, but man, I would have loved to just been on Astroworld as a producer. You know what I mean? So these are all great opportunities. I'm not knocking them at all, and I'm proud of them. But also, you know, my deep, deep desires is production. And I think when I first got into this, I was just trying to expand on what I was already doing with, like, BeatStars and stuff like that. So it was really kind of, it felt natural to go into, like, you know, to sell more beats. But then also the unnatural part of that is, like, every single day I'm consuming, like, producer content, and I'm on these blogs and this, and I can speak that, like, you know, that's my language, but yet I'm over here trying to communicate to a rapper and I'm not a rapper. You know what I mean? So when I then realized, when I clicked with that, I was like, hey, if I help producers, like, not only is it going to be easier, it's going to feel way better. And hopefully it will connect more, because it's more authentic, more whatever. And within leaning into that, all of those things happen for me. I'm having a way better time knowing that I'm helping producers day in and day out. You know, when I see a sale now, it's not really a sale. It's like a producer that I've helped, because with those tools and stuff, they're able to, at least that's my goal, is like allow producers to be able to create music better, quicker, faster, because I'm thinking about them, because I'm also a producer as well too. So when I'm creating the software, even samples and stuff, I'm thinking about how they're going to be using these things. And so that also feels just naturally just really good to know that. And I get a lot of those emails where people are like, hey, I love this, or this really increased my workflow and stuff. And so, yeah, I get a lot of enjoyment from that. And then also on top of that, I'm able to think of really cool, like what would I want to see as a producer for marketing and things like that, that I'm not necessarily seeing. So, yeah, the shift, it actually took probably close to 2 years. And I wish that it happened 2 years earlier, but sometimes that stuff just takes time. And I think everything that I learned selling to rappers truly helped when I made that switch, you know what I mean? So I had all my bumps and bruises over there. And when I made the switch over here, it was just a lot more kind of like clean and ready to go.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's a lot of times what happens is you look at the next opportunity in front of you, you jump on it, like, cool, all right, I guess I'm selling beats, so let me kind of go down that road. Hmm. But then it ends up opening up this other door of like, oh, actually, this audience would be more fun to serve, or I have something more to offer here. But, you know, the skills that I learned here are going to serve me here. And, you know, I understand, you know, my customer more, if my customer's producers, now that I've, you know, had more of that experience as a producer who's selling beats, you know, if that's who your audience is, you're going to understand that audience more as well. Did you have a transition period where you were doing, are you still doing both, or are you 100% as far as like?
At this point, I'm 100%. Yeah, there wasn't, I mean, the transition point was literally like, hey, the producer stuff's working, stop everything else. Cause you know, at some point, you know, your email lists are growing and all these other things. And you're like, okay, I'm kind of, or I see that part of the business not as, I don't want to say as profitable or whatever, but I'm not really focusing my energy to the fullest intent. And I know that, you know, I'm not giving those people also what they deserve and stuff too. So it wasn't like a crazy kind of crossover where I had two crazy things happening. This one started happening and it quickly overtook that side. And I just kind of leaned into it and let those other people know that what I was doing now and stuff. And that transition was honestly really easy, just by being honest and open and allowing people to continue to have the products and stuff and not be like, you know, monthly memberships and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And I feel like, you know, for me, it was a long time. Like I did Legion for years and had the idea of like, I know I do want to, you know, help producers for probably at least 2 years, if not three, before I actually did anything, because, you know, that focus thing is really tough. Like it's so hard to have, you know, and it's a challenge that I have still, you know, right now, which is that I have two different businesses, two different audiences, two different, you know, complete line of products where it's like, it's not like, I don't really recommend doing both at the same time. And the timing, like I feel good about it. It all worked out. But like what I would recommend for somebody is if you know you want to do both, which I think is fine. I think a lot of producers do. I would really focus on building one first, whichever one is fine. Like it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's basically the same skill set to you know, to market to either one or have a business around either one. But what I've noticed is I can basically build one thing at a time. I can grow one thing at a time. And so I can get, you know, like right now, as we're speaking, basically I put in probably about, I don't know, maybe 2 hours a week on Legion, you know, very, very little right now. And I put like, I don't even know how much I'm MIDI money, like most the other hours that I'm awake, basically. And that's what it's been for, you know, a good, you know, over 6 months for sure. But I had built Legion to a place where I had those systems, right? I had the people, I had the process, I had the tools that we had been, you know, working on over the last few years, really, to where now at least it'll stay where it's at. It might not grow unless I'm like really focused on it, but at least we can maintain what we're doing. We can maintain our membership. We can still have the same, you know, beat posting schedule. We can still create content, like all the stuff that we were doing. We've got those systems in place, but it took me a long time. So I just caution anybody, you know, to make sure that you're really putting all your focus in one until you have the systems in place that you can be like, okay, that mostly runs itself. Yeah. Now I can do the other one.
I think another point just kind of on top of that too, if you're currently listening to that and you're thinking about like, okay, well, where do I go? Because that can be confusing too. Listen to yourself, because here's like a great example too. It's like, let's just say if you love production and you just want to be making beats all day, then make a business where you're selling beats all day and you can just sit at home and make beats. Like that's great too. If you say to yourself, hey, I want to try and help producers, maybe it's something like, you know, what Gabe and Midi Money is doing. Maybe it's something like creating products for them. And maybe, or on the other side, if you're like, I just want to get placements. I know a lot of people that have great sample businesses where they get ton of placements every year just by selling their packs through Drum Broker or on their own sites and stuff like that. So there's a lot of opportunities. I think it really then boils down to like knowing yourself as well too, and being like, hey, what's the thing that, you know, is going to keep me energized? Because again, when the times are tough, you want that thing that you truly love. And so if some of those goals are worked into the business or come from the business, that's just going to make you love the business even more. And then you can eventually kind of grow into to new realms. But that's a great way to figure out what you want out of it.
No, I love that. I'm glad you said that. It's super important because I think sometimes, unless you're conscious of it, you might sort of have this vague idea of where you want to go. And so you think you sort of have to do certain things, but it's important to be conscious about those decisions and yeah, design it around what you like to do. And I'll just add on top of that too, is like, and keep an open mind, because if you asked me 5 years ago, are you going to be like really into marketing and business and be like, you know, the guy that, you know, now it's funny. Now I get like the whole other side where some people are like, you're never a producer. Like I had a comment today is like, bro, you never sold a beat. Like on a, you know, people on Facebook are haters. Like, bro, you never sold a beat in your life. You just sell courses. I'm like, bro, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's sort of funny to me, but that has been my focus. And my point is I would have never, but I love marketing. I love being an entrepreneur. I love teaching now. That's only in the last, you know, year or so. But I would have never thought about those things. I never would have considered that I would have liked those things a few years ago. But when I took the next opportunity in front of me and started doing it, that's when all of a sudden I started trying different things. And I was like, oh my God, this stuff is really fun too. I like this and this is working. So cool. Let me go down this road for a while. So I think having that open mind, yep, and doing the, you know, the thing that you love to do is super helpful.
Open mind, curiosity. That's what got me that Kylie thing too. So again, you just got to stay open and see how you can turn those things into something.
Yeah, man. So I'm curious, what is some of the things that you're looking at now? I know we had mentioned, we were talking a little bit earlier about Twitch, just briefly. What as far as like platforms and stuff? Well, maybe we can start there, because you said we didn't get into it, but you said you were starting to do something on Twitch.
Yeah. So another thing too, like, you know, what I was just talking about, a lot of the marketing and stuff, again, like I never thought literally in a pandemic, I launched this, you know, new company, which is Octave, which is a software company. I thought I was going to fail because it was literally the week that they were like, we're shutting down the borders, like no more plane rides. I was like, this is the worst time, but I'm just going to go through. But on the flip side, again, to that curiosity and just trying new opportunities, I essentially now own a software company and we're working towards the next piece of software and stuff. But again, I'm slowly moving away from the music side. And that's, again, the side that energizes me. And so one of the things I realized, hey, I think I can connect the two, is potentially by doing Twitch and streaming and stuff in general. Because if I can, the one thing I love about Illmind, he really is the one that inspired me with this, is like, the idea that like Tuesday, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, whatever his schedule is, from this time to this time, he's just making beats and loops. And on top of that, people get to watch him. And then from that, they can obviously go buy drum kits or connect with him more or get their samples, you know, placed with him and stuff like that. Those are all bonuses. But at the end of the day, he gets to still check off that box of like, I made X amount of beats each week. And that's something that I'm currently missing. So I think it gives me my own personal opportunity to say, hey team, you guys don't hit me. I'm on Twitch between this time or whatever. I'm making beats. And then obviously a big benefit of that is like with getting into more software and stuff. It's like I can preview stuff there. I can talk to I think the biggest thing that I'm missing right now is that I don't have an actual like place for like my community, I guess is what I'd say. And so this, hopefully with the Discord and everything included, it's like can be a place where I can actually just ask, what do you guys want? Or what are you working on? I can work with people. I can answer questions. I can help solve tech issues. Like I can do all of that stuff through here. And then on top of that, hopefully just connect with people more. Like that's what I'm really trying to build, is like more community. Like I know ads and all that stuff work, but they're never going to give me personally that same satisfaction that I get like right now, kind of through like, you know, when I'm emailing back or DMing with someone and I know I actually helped them, or they're saying I made this. Like I literally, somebody tagged me today and was like, I made this loop using Octave. I sent it to Illmind when he was twitching and he used it. And they made this, somebody like, you know, turned it into like a YouTube clip because the beat was so dope. And Illmind's like, yo, this is definitely going to get placed. And imagine like if that got placed, like the idea that some sounds that I created allowed this other, you know, young producer to create this their art, and hopefully they get their first placement or something like that. Would be big, you know what I mean? So that's just, I want a place where I can kind of capture that and be a part of those things, so I don't miss out on them. So yeah, Twitch. Another thing too is, I don't have the number yet. I wish I did, but Community. So it's a text-based platform. We just did a launch, and we use SimpleText, which is another texting-based app people can check out. It was cool and it worked, but the thing that I got from that, you know, and we only had about 100 people sign up, but that being able to connect just through my phone and text people, whether like if the, because we had some PayPal issues and stuff, links weren't working, but to have that one-on-one, that was like a really cool experience, and I loved that. And I want to get more of that going, because I think I'll be able to connect with people more and actually hopefully answer questions, solve problems. And then at the end of the day, it also benefits me too, because when I, you know, do eventually have more products and stuff, I can say, hey, you know, here's the link and stuff. And I think we both know like the click-through rate and all that type of stuff is way better than it is with, let's say, email and stuff like that. So yeah, text. And yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to say is my new goal right now is create more content, work on the next piece of software. What was the last? I got one more on my list hidden in there. Oh, make more music.
Nice.
There we go. So content, nice. Music, and software. And I think Twitch is a great blend of those two, where I'm like content and music together. So
yeah, no, I love that. I think there's a bunch of gems in there. One is, you know, seeing, okay, here's just what we talked about. Okay, here's the stuff that I like to do. Here's what I want to do. Now let me look at the marketplace and the platforms and the technology and the opportunities that are presenting themselves right now. How can I fit what I want to do into those things? Or how can I make those things work for me so that I can do those things? And if that's making more beats, cool. How can I make that now a way that, you know, I'm creating content for my audience and also, you know, doing, you know, let's say the thing that you want to do or whatever. And then also just, I love that idea of being able to repurpose stuff or being able to use things for multiple things. You know, something that everybody from, you know, Gary Vee talks about, create your pillar content. Like it could be a, you know, an hour long podcast or a keynote or something. Yeah. And now you can take that and turn that into 100 different pieces of content. You can put it, you know, clips on Instagram. You can do, yeah, you know, transcribe part of it and make it a blog or an email or a text message blast or a messenger blast. You can take a still from it and take a quote that you said and make that a quote. You know, you can go on for,
man, you're giving me ideas now. I never thought all this way through. I just wanted to make beats.
Yeah, but bro, there's so much you can do. And so I feel like everything that you do, yeah, there's probably 100 different things you could do with it that, you know, like making beats. Okay, cool. Like maybe you're making those beats for the purpose of selling them online or trying to get placements or licensing or whatever. But like you can do, first of all, you can use it for all those things, mm-hmm, right? So you can use that product for all those things. You can use it for licensing opportunities. You can use it to get placements. You can use it to sell online. And not to mention, you could take the stems and now that could be a loop pack, and you could, yep, take, you know, and now you could stream yourself doing it. Now that's a way to, you know, create live content on Twitch, and maybe you record it and you take, and now that becomes your pillar content that, you know, repurpose, you know, in all these different kinds of ways. And then you can get creative with that and, you know, creating contests and giveaways around it. And just, I love that concept of really thinking, okay, I'm spending my time doing this thing, but how can this result in, you know, 100 different things that are going to be beneficial, that are going to, you know, help people and inspire people and become content, become products, become, you know, whatever it is. And not just thinking so narrowly, like, all right, if I'm making beats right now, I'm making them for this one thing. It's like, no, like you can turn that into, you know, checking a whole lot of boxes at once. So I think that's dope that you're doing that. And then other gem I wanted to pull out there too, is having that community of where you can get that feedback is huge, so that you can actually speak the language people are speaking, so that you can, you know, address the concerns that they actually have instead of what you think they want. Like, no, really, the whole point is to help people. Yeah. If you don't, that's what all business is, right?
Yeah, so. Man. I mean, one of the things I stumbled upon this in March when we launched Octave is that I don't know of any other hip hop producer software like companies or initiative. Obviously, there's like, you know, BusyWorks Beats and there's Track God. But when I think of most producers, hip hop producers, we're all forced to like use all these EDM products and stuff. It's like Serum and stuff, and all that stuff is great. But when it boils down to, hey, like we've never had people from the community building products for the community, and that's what I'm really excited about, because I'm like, man, there's a lot of great ideas and stuff, and it's strange to me that we're like, I mean, I guess that's part of hip hop. You like take something that was never meant for you and turn it into its own thing. But I think we're finally at that stage where like it's grown up enough. Like we should have the same Arturia and big companies like that, but for hip hop producers. And hopefully I can be a part of that. And in return, the community actually has a chance to be like, we want this type of plugin with these type of sounds that does this type of thing. And I can have them involved. One of the coolest things I think I've done with Octave is like, it was kind of on a whim too. I was like, hey, I'm working on new sounds. Like, what do you guys want? And what do you want to name them? And I just had the biggest influx of like people from the community being like, hey, I want these type of sounds and can you name it this? And that's been a really cool community building aspect. People feel really proud when they see the presets that they wanted and the names they wanted included in Octave and stuff. And those are the things where I'm like, ah, okay, now I'm starting to figure it out. I'm like, yeah, if we can build the community and we can do all that type of stuff, we can have these type of opportunities for more people from the community. And then at the end of the day, like you said, really deliver some solid products for them.
Yeah, man. No, a couple things in there. First of all, congrats on Octave and all, you know, everything that it's done so far.
Thank you for your help, Gabe.
That's really what I was getting at. No, bro, that's amazing. It really is. And that just to get tactical for a minute, because I think we've been talking a lot of big picture stuff. That feedback thing, like big picture, of course, like that's the point, is to understand what people want and what they like so that you can create it for them. Like that's the whole point. But also just from a tactical level, like people love to be heard. And they love to feel a part of something. And so as much as you can involve your audience with that creation process, the more, first of all, you're going to get engagement, whether it could be just posting on Instagram, like, hey, which I'm working on the new logo, which one do you guys like? Or like you said, what name would you want for the pack, or what kind of sounds? And people want to be heard. They love to be involved with that kind of stuff. And a lot of times that's the content that we'll get the most engagement on, because everyone's like, oh, I have my idea, or I have my opinion. I like one on the left better than the one on the right. Or here's what I think you should do. Or, you know, even the lead up to this, to launching this podcast, you know, our first couple of emails that went out were like, hey, we're launching this podcast. We're super excited about it. Who would you like to hear on it? You know, and that's the email that went out. And now doing a couple of things. One is it's a way to let people know that something's coming without just being like, hey, this thing is coming. You know, it makes it a little bit more interesting, and we get to hear what people actually want. So like, hey, if they want my best friend, Jacob, all right, we got to give them what they want. We get the man on the show. And also from a super tactical level, if you have an email that goes out and people are replying to it, just by them replying to that email, they're essentially whitelisting your email address. So now the next email you send is way more likely to end up in their inbox than it is in the promotions tab or the spam folder. And that sender reputation for your emails is going to go up. So not only for them, but for everybody, you're going to get higher open rates, more, you know, and then more replies and more engagement, and ultimately, you know, more of people taking the action that you hope they take, whether that's consuming your content or buying yourself, you know, whatever it is. Just on a tactical level, getting feedback like that is can be super helpful.
Yes, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, man. So, you know, we've been talking about like all this delegating and team stuff. And I'm curious, as far as just like your mindset, as far as keeping yourself, you know, motivated, keeping yourself happy. Do you have either some kind of practice, whether if that's routines or I don't know, how do you approach that? Do you have a way, like a practice for that?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely, for me, I'm a big routine guy, but I will say with COVID and stuff, that definitely threw everything out of the mix. So I'm finally just back. I got back last Monday to Toronto, and I'm just kind of getting back into the swing of things. But routine is a big one for me. And again, I think, and I've touched on this a lot because it really does energize me, is like, just being able to make music. The weeks that I find are the hardest weeks are the weeks when like everything's crashed, the website's not working, all this. But at the end of the day, I don't have a chance to like just sneak away even for 5 minutes and make a beat or something like that. So that just keeps me going. And then finally, like as you can see, all the books and stuff, man, just reading a chapter of like a book or listening to a little bit of a podcast at 2.5x speed. Yeah, I'm up there, guys.
2.5, that's yeah, 10.
Overcast, you get to go all the way up to 3x if you really want to be able to do it. Anyway,
that's next level, bro. I listen to everything sped up, videos and everything, with 2.5. If anybody doesn't know, try 2.5. That's intense.
Yeah. Just hearing other people's, I think that's a big part of this too, is that we have you, we have AD, and then outside of that, the community right now is still pretty small as far as like reference points of things that can be done or whatever. It's still like the wild, wild west in that sense, which is great because there's a lot of producers that can have a lot of opportunities, but we might not all also on the flip side of that see what those opportunities are. So hearing from other people's stories and perspectives, whether that's through books or podcasts or YouTube, stuff like that, like what we're doing right now, you can say, oh, that was a great idea. Like one of the best ideas I ever heard, and we'll talk about here, is like gamifying your email. And I was listening to this podcast about this guy, and I forget, I think he was I think he was a snowplower. It was a Rick Mulready podcast, and I'm pretty sure he was a snowplower. And what he had done is that if you had opened the emails, it was tracking it, and at 100 opens, you got 100 points, and you could get like a free snowplow or something like that. And he kind of gamified it by every time that you open the email, you're getting a point, and you would see your points go up and go down and stuff like that. And just by hearing that, I was like, you know, that's a totally different realm and stuff, but maybe I can apply that over here. And so one of the things I did when I was doing like more like pushing towards beat stars and the funnels for the beats, I was like, you know, every time you open one of these emails, you're going to get a point. And at, you know, 50 points, you can go to the store and get a free beat. And so there was a lot of like that, where it's just like, that was a great thing that I learned that I never would have learned if I didn't listen to that thing that was like how a snowplower is blah, blah, you know what I mean? It's just like, totally doesn't have anything to do with music and beats, but I picked up a real big gem there that I was able to convert into our side. So I think, yeah, having that open perspective to just listen and hear what other people are doing in other industries and stuff like that, and then bringing it over to this side. Because like I said, right now there isn't really, you know, there's no rules, you know, there's no like to try some different stuff. There's a lot of things that all of us probably aren't doing just because we haven't maybe connected the dots on that. And maybe somebody listening to this will be the next person to do that big thing that we're all like, ah, I wish I did that.
Definitely. No, I mean, man, that's the big secret. That's like, I never came up with anything. I just saw somebody did it over here and maybe they haven't done it, you know, on the music side yet or whatever. And so people are like, oh, it's such a good idea. It's like, yeah, same thing. I just heard it on a podcast or whatever too. It's just, maybe they hadn't seen that over in this world. So
a great another, like, again, bringing it back to music, because I know a lot of people listening are music producers. It's like one of the biggest things that I learned from all of the top producers, like Frank Dukes is a great example of someone who's talked a lot openly about intention. And with that being said, it's like if you go into the, you know, a music session, and part of it is fine if you go in being like, oh, I don't know what to do, and you create some cool melody, that's great or whatever. But if you really want to knock it out the park, especially with these bigger artists, and land on the charts and do all those type of things, you have to have intention in your music. And by that, like if you guys are saying, hey, I want to make a 70s type of record, go look and see what type of instruments, what type of, you know, oh, they used tape and they did this, this, and this. And then take all those ingredients and then make something in that style. And by just having a little bit of direction and saying, hey, we're working on this, you know, I don't know, I'll use Nas because he just dropped his album. If you know Hit-Boy's working on a Nas record and you know historically he takes and uses samples from like the 70s, you can create like new age samples that sound like they came from the 70s, and you have a way better shot at getting, you know, your record on that Nas record by having that intention and stuff. And so to even what you were just talking about from a music standpoint, it also works over here, guys, in just having, you know, I agree that sometimes it's cool to like, you know, you totally just do everything kind of blind and stuff, especially when it comes to art. But also on the flip side of that, there's some great reference points. We just have to find them, whether it's in music or business, and then kind of rework them in our own way. And yeah,
definitely. No, I think a lot of times the best art or the best ideas comes from thinking within boundaries, right? It's like, okay, well, here's the parameters. I'm using this, you know, software, I'm using this thing, or it's got to be, you know, it's like writing a haiku, whatever, right? It's like a certain number of syllables for each line. Like there's a very specific format, but there's something about forcing yourself into those parameters that I think can evoke some creativity. So like you said, you can create those parameters for yourself, like whatever. Okay, cool. I'm only going to use sounds and gear from the 70s, or, you know, whatever it might be. A lot of times you end up being more creative because you have to think within that, as far, instead of just like starting, like you said, without intention, where yeah, you're just kind of like, I don't know, I'm just going to like throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and kind of see what sticks.
Yeah. Great artist steal, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What is it? Good artist.
Or oh, great artist steal or something like that. I'm probably butchering it, but that was also one I had the pleasure of spending some time with Kanye. And I really realized through that process in fashion, like, man, there's so many like silhouettes. So they'll take like a Nike Air Force One, but at the end of the day, you'll be wearing like a Bape shoe. And some people don't even realize like that's the same silhouette. It's just like reworked in there. And in fashion, you see that all the time. They literally take like the design of something else and just flip it a bit, and then it's theirs. And so I think we should lean more into like, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. Like you said, there's some great people that have already put some great color palettes and combinations and stuff together. Let's just play in that world. We already know it's a success. I think, and that even goes back to like the funnels and stuff. It's like something I found really hard too at first. It's like you provided me the beat selling template and stuff like that in the MIDI money program, like we have access to that. And sometimes it's hard to like not change stuff. It is really hard to like not want, like that's the first thing we want to do is like creatives. We think, oh, we're so creative. We know everything. Like I'm changing this to purple and green. And those are the times where they usually like, you know, the funnel you provided worked. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure it was the 2 comma club funnel. So, you know, if it worked for you, there's a good chance it can work for me and somebody else. And then eventually, once we test it ourselves and we get comfortable, we can expand on it. But yeah, we have to be more open to just like, hey, I don't know everything as well. You know, like just follow the formula.
Yeah, for sure. And then you can start by following that. And then, cool, now I got that down. Now you can kind of be creative from there. But start within those parameters. And yeah, as far as like repurposing stuff, when you said about fashion, it just made me think of like, I feel like there's a whole like section of fashion or you know, design where it's like literally you just, okay, you come up with a name for your thing and then you just take old logos or whatever and just write it out in like
Supreme, you know. Like all these companies do it.
So that's just like one example that made me think of. And you kind of like glossed over it, but you mentioned working with Kanye. I feel like I wouldn't be a good interviewer if I didn't come back to that. What was that like? How did that come to be? And what was that situation like?
Yeah, it was honestly, yeah, some of the best times for me, like learning, like I said, I feel like I went to fashion school and stuff like that. I was able to work on a bunch of cool projects. Like I did the sound design for the famous video where with all the mannequins and stuff that kind of like shook the world. So I was a part of like putting that video and stuff together and then a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, I learned a lot just again about like intention and music. And I guess at the end of the day too, like simplicity. And these are all things that I, even to this day, like I'll go back to the notebook that I have where I wrote notes and stuff, just kind of like to remember those times and to remember some of the great quotes and stuff like that. And those times were really great. And I know, you know, people have different feelings for him now and stuff like that. And we'll leave it at that. But at that time in like 2016 or whenever this was, man, I was at the high of my life. You know what I mean? Around literally like, you know, to me, like my idol, the person that made me want to like make beats, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. The man's a legend, I guess, regardless of maybe whatever else he may have maybe up to these days. Yeah. Certainly nobody can deny, you know, his impact on music and what he's accomplished there. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So you got your 6-figure award, MIDI Money Award.
Right there. I can't turn it around, but yeah.
Bro, congrats. That's awesome. That was you know, I felt like I won, you know, when you hit that.
We won
that
together, mountain. Man.
Man, it's so dope. So I'm wondering, like, so many people, you know, want to hit that level. Like, oh man, if I got to that level, that would be crazy. And I'm curious, some of the things that maybe you didn't expect about that level, both on the good side and the bad side as well, as far as, I don't know, what that feels like or what that looks like in your business or whatever, good and bad.
Good and bad. Okay, so, well, it's funny. I even have like a quick analogy here, because when it showed up, the award actually had a little, it was, the frame was snapped. But I think that's like perfectly fitting, because even when like you crack 6 figures or whatever, there's a lot of stuff still in the business that's broken. You know what I mean? Like there's always something you can improve on and work on. And with a little bit of glue, you can put it back together and, you know, here it is on the wall type of thing. And so I think that that's a great way to kind of summarize getting to that 6-figure point, is that there was a lot of bumps and bruises and stuff. And even, you know, we just had another launch the other day and PayPal was down for like 48 hours. So that caused a lot of headaches and stuff. So yeah, there's always these things. And for me, I think one of the best decisions I've ever made was actually getting to go to Nashville and do the MIDI Money retreat, because when was that, Gabe? That was February this year?
February 2020.
Right before. So I launched Octave in March. So in February, we went to Nashville and I was able to kind of pick these guys' brains. And that was a big, big, big help in me determining what I was going to do with Octave and stuff like that. Hearing your guys' advice, what I should be doing, and then actually executing and implementing. If it wasn't for like me actually going home with all those notes and actually applying all that stuff to the funnel, like I'm not sure if it would have hit the same way. And it was also a great resource in helping me get over some of those bumps and hurdles, like you said, because there's been many times where I've had to call you and be like, I don't know what to do, because you've been through some of those growing pains. Yeah, for me, some of the you know, I'll try and get more like tactical here. I think the quickest one that I realized is like with more people, you end up needing support. And when I was just doing like, you know, X amount of beats a week or beat sales a week and stuff like that, I didn't have to do that. I could answer all the emails when a link didn't get sent or whatever. But when it got to the point where it, you know, you pass the six-figure mark, that's a lot of support tickets and stuff like that. So that instantly, especially with software, like, again, I'm getting into stuff that I have no clue, you know, how to sometimes even help, because people have like, that's another thing I realized, people have computers from all places and spaces on. And so like sometimes they run into issues that I just have not seen. I have to troubleshoot and stuff with them.
Bro, so I can just, it's hard enough sometimes to send out a beat and get everybody to figure out how to download it.
I know, yeah, I know.
Software's got to be a whole nother world.
That, another thing that I learned is, again, communicating and being, like you said, more clear, because I can't tell you how many people, I'll send them the links to products and they respond back to that email being like, where are my links? And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be angry or frustrated here. I need to step back and maybe make this more clear. So we've gone through multiple times of creating better kind of delivery systems and places that they can go and always get their links. I've hired a support individual, my little cousin Drew. He handles support day in and day out, which is great. What else? And then also too, like, I think sometimes when things are going good to you, you get really comfortable and you forget to like keep improving. Mm-hmm. So when Octave and stuff started getting doing really well, I almost got a little bit too comfortable. It went back to making beats and stuff like that. And then in June, we had like one of our worst months. And I think part of that was because all the stuff before that, I was ramping up every week's ads, this. And then eventually I got to a place where I'm like, hey, everything's good in May. I'm just going to make some beats and send out this and do this. And then June hits and I'm like, uh-oh, you know, and that's when I decided to kind of help build with hire out with the team and stuff. And so now we weekly, every Monday, talk about like what split tests we want to do and different opt-in products and all that stuff that I had originally thought about back in March. And then I kind of like, you know, I guess other things kind of take priority and stuff. But again, thinking about like, you know, how people, again, at the end of the day, I am here to help producers. And I always have to tell myself that, because when any time that some, like, I know how frustrating it is when like you pay for something and it doesn't show up. I do not want that to be like, my goal is like, I call it company-wide, the 10-minute initiative. So like, I truly believe that we can get to a place where people can get and download their software and up and running and be making a beat within 10 minutes, 10 minutes or under. That's like, that is the goal that I want everybody in the company until we hit that to be shooting for, because I want to be like, you click this button, you have it, and instantly you make like the best, like a melody that you never would have thought you made because of our software. It's like that easy to use, that easy to install, no hiccups. And so those are things that we're like working towards, obviously as a smaller company. And then eventually, hopefully when we get to that place, you know, we'll actually be able to truly execute on that. So that's a goal of mine. And those are all things that I learned through this process of like, hey, like I'm now seeing it from the opposite side, the customer standpoint, and what are the things that they hate about this process, and what are other companies doing that I can improve on their process too? Because I think I've personally been through so many situations where I've been unhappy with a product or a thing as a producer and felt like this is some like software company that has a bunch of like investors. They don't care about me. I haven't got an email back in 2 weeks. Like, that's not the type of stuff that I'm trying to do. And if I ever get that, I'll just stop. You know what I mean? Because that's not me. That's not what I'm here to do. So those would be three big things. And then also the biggest hiccup was like, hey, I cannot make the amount of ads that I want to make, as well as like develop software, as well as like keep doing my musical dreams just as myself. And so getting the other three individuals, great individuals involved, has been a game changer. And I think because of that, hopefully with this next piece of software that we're working on, it's going to be like game changer, where we're going to be able to do all the craziest marketing stuff, the craziest instrument, the best content, the best delivery process for people. Like, that's the stuff that's kind of exciting me right now, is like, whoa, we can actually do this. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, that's awesome. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I think all of them really are focused on creating a great experience, right? For the people that you're helping. And I think that that's something that sometimes we forget about that, and sounds so obvious, but it's like, that's the whole point. Like, yes, you're doing what you love, but also these are the people who are supporting you and doing what you love. So you have to make it, you have to get them the result that you're promising them. You have to, you know, make it a great experience. And I think the people, the brands, the companies that focus on those things are the ones that in the long term win. Like, if you have a shitty product, you could have great advertising or whatever, and it might like trick people for a short period of time, but it's not going to work long term. And like, the reason why I mean, you know, Amazon is where it's at today is because they figured out, they're like, you know what, we're going to figure out how to ship stuff, you know, in 2 days, and then we're going to be able to ship stuff in 1 day. And, you know, I know they're even shortening that to where it's like, at first they're taking a loss a lot of times, but big picture, they're creating the best experience. And yeah, I think it's easy sometimes. Like sometimes it is, you know, even in the Midi Money group, people will post a screenshot of like, oh, look what this, like the email's like, hey, here's the link to download your Beats. And the guy replied with like, yo, where are my Beats at? This is a scam or whatever. And it's like, yes, it is funny to make fun of those people. And also what you said, I think is really smart is like, well, I don't know, what can I do? Because if there's more than one person who has done this, then maybe there is something I can do to make more. Maybe I need a GIF and arrows and I don't know, you know?
That's so funny. Like that has actually been like a game changer, is like just arrows and making the links bigger. Like these are all things I didn't think of. And then another thing that I thought of doing was I just made like a blank page in ClickFunnels, and I kind of created like the members page with all the links, just so, because another thing with like Octave, there's a bunch of bonuses and stuff. And again, I get a lot of people being like, where's the links? And I know it's all going to this like one place, and then they can see everything. So even that, I think, helped, because originally the email was like, it was like so long with all these links. And I'm like, of course, that must be a frustrating you must be so frustrated going through and like, did I click this one and did I download that? And it's only going to Dropbox, where it's like, now it goes to a nice place. You log in. You see all your stuff, and there's arrows and me explaining everything in detail. So there's like no way that you, like, at least I'm hoping there's no way that you like forget a product or forget to do this update or these sounds or whatever. It's like laid out for you the clearest, but we could still get better at that too. Like, you know, so
always. Yeah. No, that, even that one right there is a good one. The videos thing, I've been doing that more and more where, you know, as much as possible, if it's a thank you page where they just bought, or it's the members area, or you know, wherever it is, just having a short video where like, yes, I'm writing it out and it should be spelled out, it should be super clear, but some people are going to read that and not watch the video. Some people watch the video and won't read. So that to me has helped a lot. And the other thing that stuff does, especially something like a video, is it reminds people that you're a human on the other side, you know, and then people are a lot happier and they're a lot more forgiving when they're connected to you, right? When they know, oh yeah, Jacob, like he's a good dude, like whatever, like, okay, the PayPal thing wasn't working or whatever it was. And I don't know if you want to get more into the specifics, but like, okay, this thing wasn't working. You know, some people are just automatically going to be like, ah, oh, it's all a scam, I hate it all, whatever. But like, I bet a good percentage of those people, because they feel like they know you, or maybe they do know you, or they've heard you talk, they're like, oh yeah, this is a good dude. Like, I'm sure whatever the error is or whatever, like,
Even with the PayPal, like it took probably close to 2 days, but I individually emailed everybody and just let them know. And not one single person asked for a refund. Not one single person said anything bad. They're like, hey, you're a human, I totally understand. And then another gem that I'll just give too here that I really realized, about like 70% of all, and this is probably going to be funnel wide for all people, is that 70% of all the sales were happening on mobile. And I realized, hey, when you buy a piece of software on mobile, you're not at your computer. You know what I mean? Like you feel maybe a bit stressed out, or the email goes and then 2 days later you want to install it and it feels like, oh, where was that link? And so what I realized, what I wasn't doing, is that on that thank you page, I wasn't being clear that like, if you're on mobile, I'm going to send you all this information. Just check your promotions or whatever, make sure it's there. If not, here's what you do. And so all I did is I created on the mobile version of the thank you page, I just created another text block that's only shown on the mobile side that says, and it says, it's right at the top. It's like, hey, it looks like you're on mobile. I want to let you know I'm sending this to your email in the next 5 to 10 minutes. It's coming from this. And if you have any issues, hit support at octavevst.com. And then it had all the stuff underneath. So just even by doing that, I've lowered a lot of the support and stuff, because I was getting a lot of people who bought on their phone and then felt like, oh, I don't know where do I get my stuff? And then they would instantly DM me. And it was just like, it was a lot of like back and forth with people. This has like probably eased 80 to 90% of that. And so that's like an easy one, because any product any of us are selling is most likely going to sell through mobile. And that was like an easy little text thing that I quickly wrote in like 10 seconds that's been saving a lot of headache.
Smart. And that's, everybody's on mobile now. Everybody's on their phone. Yep. And usually when we're building these pages and putting this stuff together, we're probably on our computer or on our laptop. So man, so important, like check that stuff on mobile, everything you do, whatever page, emails, all that kind of stuff, you know, funnels, websites, like always check it on your phone and have, you know, have your friends check it on their phones if they have different kinds of phones or whatever, because that user experience is so important and it's very different a lot of times on mobile. Yeah. So I think that's really smart, and test everything. Like send yourself those emails, you know, have, you know, make sure that if you set up your funnel, like buy it yourself and make sure everything works and the workflow actually makes sense. Cause sometimes you have all this stuff in your head and it's all great ideas and you're like, okay, I did it. But it's like, until you actually go through it and test every single little piece of it, you never know, because all the little shit that could go wrong, it's going to go wrong eventually. When you scale up to a certain level, it's going to go wrong.
Same thing even too, like with the PayPal, like I went through, I actually paid through PayPal. I purchased it. It took me exactly to where I wanted to go. And then for some reason, for like about 70% of, like, we went and we did all the research and stuff, close to like 65, 70% of people, when they went after they purchased through PayPal, I just sent them back to the sales page and not to the like thank you page. And so we actually realized it looks like people that were doing it on Safari on their phone and then the people that were doing it on Google. So I never even thought about that. I just did it on I have Google or whatever, or it was the reverse. I forget. It was one of the two. But I realized, I was like, oh, so yeah, that's why I probably didn't see the issue at the time. I might have been able to kind of fix something, but it's like test it out and then think of potentially, like, because I went through Octave and I knew the support thing, as soon as I saw the emails and DMs coming in, I instantly was able to go to my team. I was like, Mike, you're doing this. Grant, you're doing this. I'm just going to stay on and just DM people and instantly, so they feel like, hey, we're working on the problem. I'm going to send you a link. Send me your email. And we were able to get through all that stuff over the weekend. And like I said, zero people asked for any sort of refund. Like, people were very fine waiting and stuff. And they all, mostly, I'd say 80 to 90% of them were like, they actually felt, I would probably say it even a bit better, because it was another chance for us to personally connect. Because I had the text going, I had the DMs going. I'm like, we were able to have real conversations and stuff too. So it wasn't an automated process, which was kind of nice too. I wouldn't say that I could do that if it was, like, you know, more than the amount that we were able to sell and stuff. But
Yeah, no, I think as far as like the manual and automated, like, a lot of times, I think, so if you're in the middle of a launch, just expect you're going to have to do a lot of stuff manually, because stuff, you know, unexpected stuff will come up. But a lot of times I want to do the first, even if it's something that makes sense to be automated, for, you know, when we're trying something new, I'll want to, you know, I'll be it. Like, I don't usually answer the emails now, but when we launch something new or we're sending something out for the first time, I'll be in the inbox and I will reply to a decent amount of them, because I want to see, like, exactly what is going on. And then we can create the systems and the people and the processes that are going to, you know, make that now work, you know, in an evergreen way. But you don't know until you get in there and actually, like, reply to people.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I hate PayPal. I hate it. It's so annoying. It's like, it's cool on the customer side, but on the merchant side, it's just such a hassle.
And
we launched, I think I told you this, the Beat Traffic Hacks, you know, training as its own funnel. And we just did Stripe only. And it was so much easier, like, so much better. And now, you know, we're starting to get more and more people asking for PayPal. So we might add it in now. But even just initially in that first phase where we're like experimenting and doing a bunch of split tests and all, like, I'm so glad that we didn't start with PayPal in there, because it just made it easier.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things that you almost feel like you have to have, because it's what, you know, for sure, producers and rappers, like, you know, a lot of them use PayPal. And so.
Yeah. I didn't have PayPal on Octave for like the first probably almost 2 months. Did the Stripe thing, and that was, I never had any, like you said, any issues. I also had just like a PayPal order form that if anybody DM'd me, I could just kind of send it that way. But I agree. I kind of wish now, thinking, and this is good, why I guess you, like, before you get into running ads and stuff, guys, like, test this out kind of more organically. And because this is where all this has been great, being able to just deal with my email list and answer all those issues, what, rather than if I would have pumped a bunch of ad money into it, I wouldn't have probably been able to do this podcast. I'd still be like sending people emails for the PayPal stuff. So I'm glad we're getting up the kinks. And in a week or two, when we start rolling out the ads and stuff like that to the product, it'll be a lot smoother experience. We'll have gone through the hurdle at a smaller scale
that's definitely a gem right there, because even just like do your best to test stuff out, but you don't really know till you run some traffic to it. So definitely, you know, starting things organic is going to help, because you're not, first of all, you won't feel like you're leaking money right away. Yep. And you can just see if stuff is like working, as far as like literally like working, like sending stuff out. And if it's working, like, is it converting? And maybe it's not, you know, and instead of you starting by, you know, spending a bunch of money up front, you can, you know, test it out a little bit first, and then okay, cool, now I see this is working, now let me really kick the ads in, whether if that's starting to scale them up or even just starting them at all. I think that's definitely a good way to start, at least for sure. So what do you got coming up next? What's the next move? What are you excited about?
Yeah, man, I'm really excited about yeah, the next piece of software and stuff like that. So
you have a name for it? Can we do like, is this going to be the,
no,
do I get the scoop?
You're too early, maybe offline, but no, what I will say though, is like, I have been listening to the community. And I think like, this could be like a game changer for producers. Again, like my goal is to help producers like make beats in under 10 minutes, because I've been in those studio sessions and I know the panic and fear that like, even at a low scale, like if you just have like your homie over your shoulder, like, and he's trying to make a song and you're trying to make a beat on the fly, having tools and stuff that can't provide that for you is just like a horrible feeling. So I understand, or I think I'm starting to understand what producers really want and what I want at the end of the day too, because I'm always kind of scratching my own itch. And so I think the next piece of software, when we do start rolling out what it is, it's still in like kind of wireframe phase, a lot of bugs. We're creating something that I think could be like the next, you know, plugin, hopefully, that like people are like, oh, this is like, you know, it was kind of like when Grossbeat kind of took over or something and everyone's using Halftime and stuff like that. I'm hoping that I'm about to create something that can have that sort of impact. But again, from like a hip hop producer standpoint, because all of those things, you know, that we end up using end up coming from all these other genres and stuff like that. Like, I want to be a part of creating tools that producers like actually were meant for them, rather than stuff they had to like reconfigure and try and, oh, that's a cool one, cool preset out of 20 that I can actually use for like hip hop stuff. And so I'm thinking we can get there. And if we can crack the code with the 10 minute initiative and make sure that people get that product and within 10 minutes make something that they wouldn't naturally make and are excited about, that that's a dream come true. So, you know, even if we can do that for like a handful of producers, I'll be happy. But I think, you know, I really think this is the one. So I'm excited about that. And then also for my own personal stuff, man, like, I'm really trying my best to get like these placements and get these records and work. Like, I have my own personal kind of dreams and goals and stuff. And, you know, a big dream of mine is like the Drake placement. Like, you know, that would be like a dream come true. I think, you know, he's going to go down as one of the greatest artists of all time. And I know at some point he's going to come to an end or will not want to do it or not need to do it because he's so rich. And I'm praying that at some point I can get like that type of record. So I'm working towards those sort of bigger goals. And hopefully I have some placements and stuff on the way, and I can share all that news when it eventually happens.
Awesome, man. That all sounds super exciting. Well, this has been incredible. It's always fun to chat with you, and excited for everybody to hear all the gems that you drop. Maybe we can just wrap it up with, if you do have any closing thoughts and or just letting people know about the best place to find you, where to find Octave, you know, where to find you on
closing thoughts. Media, all that stuff. I got a lot of empty space here. I need my 2-comma. Club Awards. So
you're on your way. You got that 6-figure.
We still got a lot of work and stuff to do, but as far as me, myself, at my best friend Jacob, you know, like I said, at this point, this is the best time to reach out and connect with me, because I'm still able to answer a lot of those messages and stuff. So at my best friend Jacob on Instagram, and through that, once we launch the Twitch in like a week or so and all those other things, you'll be able to have or hopefully see all of that and be a part of all those kind of things that we're working on. And then as far as products and stuff go, just head on over to octavevst.com and you can check out the software. Also, you'll be able to find sample packs and all that good stuff. And we'll kind of take it from there.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you.
Cool, man. I appreciate you. Thanks for all the hard work. And here's my question to you. You know, I like.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Do you think what have you guys figured out anything yet for, like I said, Nashville was such a great moment and stuff for me. Is there any word on, obviously I know COVID has thrown that off for you and the team, but is there any thoughts in doing something like that again, whether it's in person or digital, or what's your kind of
thing? I feel like I'm like really happy about the timing and really sad too, because we literally did that. It was the end of February. Yeah. So it was right in time. So I'm grateful that we did it then.
Yeah. I was wearing a mask when I went down there. People were looking at me weird, but I think, again, like, no offense to Americans, but it's kind of that American, and you're kind of going through it right now where you're like, well, you know, what's going on? But in Canada and stuff, like, I mean, I was traveling with an N95, and when I went down there, I had one on. I was like one of the only people. I'm so happy it happened when it happened, because we just missed it.
No, it was literally like, we scheduled that because it was in Nashville. It was right after, it was literally like a day after Funnel Hacking Live. So I was in a room with 5,000 people. We were crammed in there. Nobody had, it wasn't even on anybody's radar to even think about wearing a mask. Yeah. I think I had barely heard of like, oh yeah, there's kind of this weird flu thing going around. So that's crazy that I mean, I believe it that we were in the U.S. here, we're a little behind the times. But anyways, I, you know, I'm grateful that we did it then, because if we had waited even a couple of weeks, certainly a month, it wouldn't have even happened. But it also sucks because it was such a great experience. Like, it was so fun just hanging out with you guys. And just, I feel like it was a big breakthrough for a lot of people. It was a breakthrough for me of just like learning stuff. And so we were like, man, me and AD were like, okay, we're going to do this many events this year. We were like super excited about it. Like, we'll do the big one once a year, which would be like this. And then we'll do like various events throughout the, you know, the country. Maybe we'll do one in Europe, or like, you know, we had all these plans. And it's like, well, I guess we're probably not going to be doing a lot of traveling. Yeah. So that's, you know, a little bit of a disappointment. So I don't know. We haven't really figured anything out, you know, as far as like doing anything in person, you know, but yeah, maybe we'll see. Nothing official yet, but maybe we'll do some kind of virtual event. You know, we have like our live stuff that happens in the group, and plus we have some of that kind of stuff going, but it would be fun to put together something that's more of like an official, even if it is virtual, of some kind of either summit or, you know, that feels a little bit more like an event. But yeah, right now nothing official, and hopefully we'll, you know, be able to put something together. But man, it was, I can't wait till we can do stuff like that again. It was such a cool experience.
It was, yeah, it was really, really great. I'm actually, Chris, who's another member of who was down there in Nashville and stuff, I'm hopefully gonna work on some stuff with him coming up. And we got a call actually tomorrow. So yeah, it was just a great way to connect with people that care about production, but also all this weird funnel stuff that we're into.
Yeah, I know. It's so fun to be able to like geek out about this stuff, because most people, you know, I don't know, people that I just like know, quote unquote, in real life, like they don't know what the hell any of this stuff, you know, an opt-in page and a funnel and whatever, and even production. Like, so it's there's something special about being in a room with, you know, what was that, 20 other or so, you know, producers that are, you know, geeking out on the same stuff, and we can connect. And you know, that's what I feel like the MIDI Money group is.
Yeah.
And I love being in there, but there's definitely a whole nother thing about being that smaller group, physically being there and eating together there, and, you know, just hanging out there. So man, sometime soon, I hope.
Cool, man. Well, listen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the MIDI Money podcast. Do you have any question at all about your music production business, whether if it's marketing, funnels, traffic, social media, ads, mindset, anything else that you'd like me to answer for you here on the podcast? Well, I want to answer that for you. I just have one favor to ask in exchange that really will mean the world to me. Head over to Apple Podcasts and do three simple things. Leave a rating and review telling me what you think of the podcast. And then in that review, ask any question you'd like me to answer. And also, if you want a shout out, leave your Instagram handle or name. That's it. Then listen to my reply. I promise I will not hold anything back. I'm going to give you the real behind the scenes answer that you really won't hear from anyone else. Plus, each week, we're going to pick at least one producer who leaves a review to win gear, software, courses, and other cool stuff. You know, I love sharing what I'm learning and doing and continue to grow as a producer, as an entrepreneur, and really as a human. And I hope that this podcast teaches and inspires you as we go along on that journey together. And those ratings and reviews, they make all the difference in helping me get this podcast out to more people like you. So it means so much to me that you're willing to take a couple minutes to do that. I appreciate you, and I will see you next time on the MIDI Money podcast.